Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Let's listen in now as part two is already in progress. So again, back to this problem where worry is a faith deficiency. We need to be aware of that, that when our faith is weak, that invites worry into our life. We worry because we do not truly believe what we say we believe about God. And so if we look at Hebrews 11, we get to see the example or in Scripture, what Hebrews 11 describes, because again, we interpret Scripture with Scripture, right? We're going to go right to Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right? Things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So meaning that we have to truly believe, if you can get past Genesis 1:1 and that the Lord created everything, right? That we believe in creation, then we also need to believe that everything that's in Scripture is true. And we're focusing on the hope that is in the truths that's in Scripture. And so again, if we don't have faith, then we don't have assurance of the things that we're hoping for. And we don't have conviction about the things that are not seen. So again, the promises that are made to us, eternity, you know, salvation, like the things that we can't see is what he's referring to here. So again, if we don't believe what's in Scripture, then we have worry. That we're not believing that what God says he can do, that he can actually do. So how do we combat worry? Well, we're going to combat that by preaching to ourselves. We're going to interrupt these spiraling thoughts with truths, okay? So when we find ourselves circling the drain and we're worrying about all of these things in our life and we recognize like, hey, this is actually happening, we need to figure out how we can attribute that to God, meaning how can we interrupt that thought with the truths that are in the Bible? So we need to identify our specific worry, whatever this recurring worry is in our life. Maybe it's finances, okay? It's a pretty common one nowadays. Maybe everything else in life is okay, but I'm worried about paying the bills, and that's constantly on my mind. And it's something that I'm spending a lot of time worrying about. So that one particular thought can hijack my mind. I can really spend a lot of time worrying about this. So what do we do? Well, we're going to write it down. We're going to write it down and say, I'm concerned about my finances for these reasons. And then I'm going to go into Scripture and I'm going to find a Scripture that addresses this lie that I'm telling myself, that I have to provide for myself. Not that the Lord won't provide for me if I'm a believer and I believe and I have faith, but I'm lying to myself and I'm telling myself that this is on me to do, okay? And this is kind of reflected in those little papers that I've given you. And it also, that it won't be easy for us to do this little task here because it requires like this constant battle. Every day we have to wake up and say, checking my bank account. I have to remind myself, the Lord will provide for me. I have faith that he will always make sure that I am clothed, I am fed, or my family is fed and clothed. I need to just trust in him and do what he's asked me to do and make sure I'm walking with him and spending time in Scripture. I have to remind myself every day. So through the renewal of our mind, we can see that. So Romans 12:2, that's another example that we can look at. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be focused on the things of the world, the things that are easily distracting of you. We need to be transformed by renewing our mind. How do we renew our mind? We spend time in Scripture and we spend time meditating on His Word and journaling and writing things down so that we can name our sins, we can name our problems and say, this is what it is. This is what my problem is. And this is how I'm going to combat it with biblical truths. And so we need to really be combating or battling this, our mind, about letting go of this intense feeling that we need to be self-reliant. Again, weak faith leads to worry, which indicates that we are reliant on ourselves and not the Lord. Okay. So what's really great is that Jesus continues this conversation here. And in the second part of your analysis here for anxiety, we see that in verses 29 through 31, He begins to address anxiety specifically. We've already said, hey, this is worry. We know that these are what our problems is. We know what our value is compared to these little things like the raven and the lilies. How much more valuable are we? But Jesus says in verse 29, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not, again, do not keep worrying or be anxious, depending on what translation you have. And so verse 30, for all these things, the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. So Jesus here is speaking to, when He says for all the nations, He's speaking about the Gentiles. And He's calling the disciples out. And He says, for all these things, the Gentiles or the nations of the world eagerly seek. They're worrying about drink and food and how they're going to take care of that. But the Father knows that you need these things. Again, Jesus is telling us very specifically, don't let anxiety rule your life. Don't. You need to bring everything to God in prayer. In verse 31 is where He tells us this. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So if you guys remember from last week, we go to Matthew 6:33. It says, what should we do first? We should seek the kingdom. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As we spoke about that last week, it's transferable here. Again, we interpret scripture with scripture. And what we're finding out in verse 31 here is that He's telling us that we need to combat this anxiety by going to God in prayer. We need to be in peace in the fact that He is our guardian. He is our defense against these things that we're concerned about. If we kind of pick it apart here and we look at this and we say, let's jump over to Philippians 4, 6 and 7, okay? So Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, this is kind of like the standard in the perspective of talking about anxiety and combating it. This is one of the standard verses that'll be in there that everybody's going to kind of talk about, everybody's going to hear. What I want you to do is look at verse 6, and I'll read it off it for those that don't have the text in front of you, but it says, be anxious for nothing, okay? Step one. This is how we're going to combat anxiety. Don't let anxiety rule you. That's what He's telling us. 6A, be anxious for nothing. 6B, the other half of 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So bring everything to God in prayer. Very specifically, again, don't let anxiety rule you. Bring everything to God in prayer. Step 3. We jump down to verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Receive His peace as He guards you and defends you. So we, again, can have peace of God because it surpasses all the things, all the concerns, all the worries and the anxieties that we may have, that we can even comprehend His greatness, His power, His peace is far greater than that. And we will guard our hearts with Christ. And so that's the perspective that we can pull out of other scripture that's applicable to this anchor verses here in Luke on ways to combat anxiety. And so when we think about all of the things that we struggle with on a daily basis and the anxieties that we carry and the fears that we have, we need to make sure that we can look at verses like Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 and have skills for us to navigate that, okay? So we really need to begin to kind of evaluate this from another perspective. Our emotional security blankets that we carry with us, We need to be thinking about this and saying, what would happen to me? Or what would need to happen to me for me to be truly at peace in the world? Like Philippians is telling us, what would need to happen for me to have peace about my financial woes? What would need to happen for me to not be concerned about how I'm going to take care of the things in my life? Or whatever you have anxiety about, what is it going to take for that to be removed? Okay. The answer to this question that you ask yourself is going to reveal what your heart is trusting other than God. And so let's just use the financial things. We've been talking about that today. So if I say I just need a job that pays me more money so I can pay the debt that I have, then I'm putting the trust in myself or in my employer to provide for me over the Lord to provide an opportunity. And so when I worry and I focus and I have all this anxiety that I'm pouring onto this, then I'm replacing my trust and faith in the Lord with something else. And so that is a problem for us. And so we should be bringing these problems to the Lord, like we saw in verse 7, Philippians. And so we need to make sure that we are rightly ordering ourselves and bringing it to the Lord in that perspective. Again, don't let anxiety rule you. Bring everything to God in prayer and receive His peace as a guardian and defense for you. So when we get to verse 32 and 34 of Luke chapter 12, we start to see the last portion of this triad. So we've already got worry, we've already got anxiety, and now we're going to get into fear. Okay. So again, Jesus puts this out here for us. So verse 32 to 34 is going to address this by helping us to reorder what we worship in our lives. So fear is different than anxiety, as we discussed earlier. We fear very specific things in life versus like the general worry. Like anxiety can be very generalized, where we just kind of worry a little bit about everything in our life. Where fear, I have a very specific fear about losing my job. I have a very specific fear about how I'm going to put food on the table next week. I have a very specific fear about this medical problem that I'm experiencing in my life and how that's going to flesh out. How is that going to impact my family? I have a very specific fear about my marriage and whether I'm going to lose this person or if my marriage is going to fall apart. We have all these very specific fears, all right? Whether it be for our wayward kids, whether it be for, you know, graduating school, we always have something that we have a fear over. And so this is different because we need to be aware that one of the problems with fear is that we allow it to overshadow everything else in our life. Let's get into the verses. It says, do not be afraid, little flock. So again, the reason he's calling everybody a little flock here, he's calling them a little flock here, is because at this time, there wasn't that many Christians in comparison to the rest of the world. He calls them, do not be afraid, my little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He is willingly giving you the kingdom. You don't have to have fear about salvation. He's willingly giving you eternity. He's giving you this relationship with Him. You have to accept it and, you know, repent and believe. But it is, He is giving it to us freely. So that should not be a fear for us. Verse 33, it says, He tells them, sell your possessions. Give it to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. What he's telling them here is, if you truly have peace and security in the kingdom and you're not focusing on your own ability to change things in your life, then you should be able to give freely. Open your hand. Give to charities. Right? You don't need these possessions if you have the kingdom. That's what he's telling them. Don't worry about the temporal things, the things of this world, because you have something greater. He tells them, make yourselves money belts or like a purse or coin purse, like a purse where you would keep a treasure that doesn't wear out. Well, store up your treasures in heaven, not on the earth, is what he's telling them. No thief is going to come take that from you. No moth is going to destroy it. Verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so he's calling us out very specifically that if your fears, where your heart is on is here in this temporal world that we live in, then we're not rightly ordered. We're not worrying about the right things. Fear really reveals what we fear most in our life. It reveals what we worship the most. It is a shadow that's cast by our treasures, meaning the things that we value, the treasures that we value the most, the fears that we have is like that kind of overarching shadow that it's cast from that treasure. So if I really value having, you know, a really nice house, well, there's always going to be a burden that's associated with it, a darkness, a shadow that's cast by that, because I have to continually work. I have to continually provide for that. Same thing. Like if I'm idolizing my marriage above God and I'm spending all my time serving my wife, which is like what we should be doing is serving our spouses, right? But if we're taking it to another level and we're putting their needs above our walk with the Lord, then that could cast a shadow. And so the perspective here is that we have to understand that if we are not rightly focused and putting him as number one, our treasure is not in heaven, our treasure is not with him, then we can find ourselves being fearful of things that are not necessary for us to be fearful about. We are afraid of losing what we value the most. So one of the things that I wanted to kind of get across today is that there's a book out there, and this is obviously not in scripture, but it is something that is very helpful. And I want to point it out because if you have time to go take a look at this, please do. So there's a book written by Ed Welch, and it's called When People Are Big and God is Small. So one of the problems that we have as humans is that we fear people sometimes above all other fears because they can expose us. They can humiliate us, right? We fear what people would do. Sometimes that's sharing the gospel. Sometimes we're afraid to share the gospel because we're afraid of how it's going to turn out, right? We fear people because they can ridicule us. They can despise us. They can reject us. And again, these are reasons that we fear people in our lives, whether it be coworkers, family, friends. Sometimes we fear people because they can attack us. They can threaten us, right? They can physically harm us. They could, you know, maybe I fear my boss because he could fire me, right? So when I make concessions for my relationship with the Lord because I'm afraid of my boss and I do things that are not scripturally sound, or I become, or I'm making concessions where I'm doing things that are not ethical because I'm afraid I'm going to get fired, then I'm at that point afraid of man over God, right? So that is something that we just need to be aware of, okay? The lesson is that we fear. We see people sometimes in our lives, different events or situations, as bigger than God, which is not the way we should be living our lives. All right. So out of fear, we give people the power or the right to tell us what we fear, what we feel, what we think, what we should be doing. And so we just hand that over. And now we are following their belief systems. We're doing what they want us to do. And we're distancing ourselves from the Lord. And so we have to be careful that we don't get caught in that trap, that we don't elevate people or man above God. Okay. So we need to be fearing what sits on the throne of our hearts. Okay. Meaning we should be fearing, we should have a healthy fear of God. Right? Like we talked about last week and the week before, we should have a healthy fear, right? That what he says in scripture will happen, that we will be judged, that we will be held accountable, that he is capable of all that he says. But we're not cowering like he's a bad father. We're just aware that he will fulfill what he's promised to do. And so Jesus is combating this idea in verse 32. It tells us, do not be afraid, little flock, your father has chosen gladly to give us the kingdom. And so we have faith in that. Romans 8, verses 31 to 32 tells us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? There is peace in that idea because the cross is the definitive answer to any fears that we have. We know that God has promised the kingdom to us, right? If we are to walk with him and we are his people, we've been adopted. But we should be making sure that we understand that if God is for us, then there's nobody in this world or no thing in this world that can be against us, all right? He himself gave his own son on the cross for us. And so that should tell us something. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Can you imagine giving your child for somebody else, right? Just think about it from that humanistic perspective of, could you imagine doing that? He was willing to do that. And so that should just bring us, that's a way for him to just kind of bring relational, you know, language to us so we understand what exactly happened there. We should be focused on understanding that we are truly safe in his presence and that we should be focusing on heaven and not the things of the world, okay? No doubt that we have should be focused on that. He gave his son on the cross for us. And so in verse 33 that we saw, it talks about the person who fears losing their wealth. They can't give it away, right? So we kind of talked about that earlier in Luke 12, verse 33. If you're somebody who can't freely give, then you're not ready. You're afraid of losing your wealth. You don't truly trust God to provide for you. And so you're holding on to the possessions of your life, your finances, all these things. You're not willingly giving because you're not trusting that God, you don't have faith that God will continue to provide for you and that he will reward you for your generosity. So we hold on to these earthly possessions and it's troublesome for us. So the big takeaway here is that we need to be relocating or making sure that our treasures are in heaven and not on this earth in this temporal sense. And that we need to be making sure that we are naming our fears specifically so that we can pray for it. And that we can go to God and ask him to help us through that, all right? And we need to ensure that it isn't in place of the kingdom, okay? As we get ready to close here, I want you guys to just remember from the perspective that everything that we have here on this earth, what we drive, what home we live in, what food we eat, what we drink, our job, the people we know, you know, all that is temporal. All that will go away at some point in time. And as somebody who myself, I struggled with anxiety for a long time before I understood that no matter what I do, I can't change anything. What's not in my scope of control, I couldn't change any of that. I could put my shoe on, right? I could do the things that are associated with me, but I can't change the will of other people. I can't change how they're going to react to something I say. I can't change if somebody decides to up and leave. Those are not things that I'm in control of, but I can spend an enormous amount of time worrying and having anxiety over a fear of something that I shouldn't have fear about because my trust should be in the kingdom, should be in heaven. I shouldn't be worrying about all these things in life. God gave me that job. If he chooses to take it away, that's his choice. But I know that he's going to continue to provide for me, right? That's the perspective that we need to have and that we should be pulling and taking away from this. So as we get ready to pray, just be thinking with me about things in your life that you're struggling with and how you would like to deal with those and how we can use scripture to combat those fears. We could be rightly oriented in making sure that we're not focusing on these temporal problems in our lives. Lord, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here in worship today. We just pray and ask that you would be preparing us for this week. The minute we leave here, the minute we get in the car, or even now, we're already having thoughts about things that are distractions in our life. We're already maybe worrying already, and we haven't even gotten out the door. Father, just please help us to be reminded that we will be continuously clothed and taken care of, because if you'll do it for the raven, you'll do it for the lily, you'll do it for the sparrow, you'll do it for me. Please help us to remember that if our mind is set on the right things and we're not fearing the things of this world, then we have nothing to worry about because you're on our side. So please encourage us to share that message, Father, with others that we love, and that we might live our life in such a way that we can demonstrate that to those that we love, that we can eliminate this worry and anxiety and fear from our lives, Father. Please help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we finish with part 2, let these words from our Lord settle deeply into your heart. "Fear not, little flock." That is not a suggestion. It is a command grounded in promise. Your Father knows what you need. He sees the bills, the uncertainty, the pressures, and the questions about tomorrow. And still He says, "Do not be anxious." The same God who feeds the ravens and clothes the lilies has given you something far greater than daily bread. He has given you the kingdom through Jesus Christ. If He has secured your eternal inheritance at the cost of His own Son, you can trust Him with today. So seek His kingdom. Set your heart on things above. Hold this world loosely and Christ tightly. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.